This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Hello everyone, thanks for joining the award-winning To Hull and Back podcast. I'm your host Nathaniel Witto and we are proudly sponsored by Kingfisher Fish and Chips in Hull and Old Zoological Bar. Tonight we've got another opposition preview, this time with Luke of Swanscast. So good evening Luke, tell me, how did that intro go? Because I can never tell with the software. Did I start at the right time?
Yeah, I think it was pretty spot on to be fair, you've done a good job.
Wonderful, excellent. Thank you. So, yeah, let's just move on from there because I never like doing the intro, but I always enjoy doing these because I think it's a good way for our fans to understand what's happening at Swansea. We were just discussing that the Hull City accounts were released yesterday. People worried about financial fair play and that sort of thing. So just as a Swansea fan, give us a little bit of background on how the club's doing, because I don't know much about Swansea really over in Wales, Different country, just completely different world, isn't it? So how's it going?
Yeah, we're probably on a bit of a downward trajectory at the moment, unfortunately. So obviously we had time in the Premier League, I know yourselves did as well. Five, six years ago, since we come down, end of the 2018 season, I believe the relegation was. And it just doesn't look like we are really touching with getting back there. And we had a couple of flirts with the playoffs under Steve Cooper in the second or third year since relegation. Obviously he went, Russell Martin came in, and as much as the fan base was more happy with the way we play in the style of football, the results, we didn't get in the playoffs basically, so it's worse seasons on paper. Even though last season was only 3 points off the playoffs, you know, we were a couple of positions below. It wasn't like we were one position off. Which Russell Martin, in his two seasons here, had our worst finishes. Potter even finished better off, I believe. So, yeah, and then going into this season, they kind of tried changing the style with Michael Duff, whether that was intentional or not, or whoever was making decisions. If they just thought, looking at data, you would get the job done, more than taking into account how the fans want to play and the club sort of ethos and sort of philosophy, if you like. Kind of went out the window a little bit with his appointment and what we saw. As much as I didn't necessarily think, I think he's a bad manager, I think he'll have to do a good job in the Championship in future. Clearly didn't work here, and he couldn't get the fans on board, and that made his job harder. And it was just kind of like a spiral downwards with those two things, cauldron of fire, if you like. And we are where we are now. It's only 5 points above relegation, bottom half of the table. I'd like to say we've got enough to stay up, but it's not where you want to be every year, kind of getting lower and lower. Eventually, that trapdoor comes. We saw it in the Premier League. And yeah, I'm not really sure how we turn this around at the moment. We got a manager in now that should bring back a way of playing that we want. But it's a difficult way to play if you want back him up with the right resources to play that football, as Russell Martin found, and as you're seeing with him now at Southampton, as much as that's maybe a extreme case with the fans they have available and the players they have at their disposal after relegation, it shows that style and can work very successfully, I think, if it's backed correctly. Now, unrealistic to think we get the same level of backing, but we should want to be competitive and have a chance of sneaking in, you know. But right now, that's a little bit far away.
Yeah, I mean, what you said about the fans is completely correct. Generally, you're going to have teams lower down the table who can't afford to buy the quality of player you need to play that more sort of complex system with technical players, whereas maybe lower down the league, especially in the EFL, you can just about get away with some more physical players. So just how important is that style of play to the Swansea fan base? You said about last manager not getting the fans on side, because that's been a thing. I know that Swansea won the League Cup a few years ago, and that they're in Wales, and that they play along the ground. And that's sort of the sort of integral thing since at least, was it Brendan Rodgers was the manager a long time ago now?
Before that, with Roberto Martinez even is where it started, really. But yeah, it's very important. It's they call it the Swansea way, and everyone wants that now. We've argued sometimes on a podcast, it's a little bit of a poison chalice at the moment. We feel a little bit on a podcast. I'm not saying I don't want to see that style of football. It's very nice to watch when it works well. But when it worked well for us when we rose up to the Premier League all those years ago now, from Division 2 eventually to the Premier League, the football landscape was a lot different. It was easier maybe to get bargain buys from the continent. You know, there's different issues now with buying players abroad that make it more difficult. Not just the transfer fees are a lot higher, you know, and it's harder to find a diamond in the rough that nobody knew of. You didn't pay much for him. And then he comes in and is really good. And even if he sells on, you know, he makes a massive profit. There's a couple of names in our history. Michu was probably the famous example, you know, really cheap and took the Premier League by storm when we signed him. You can't really do that often these days. So that's one situation. But I think the way that football is played always evolves. Not to say that style can't work, but a lot more teams probably know how to play against it successfully. And if you'd even look at like Man City, if you want to say a pinnacle of that style in English game under Pep Guardiola, he evolves every season how they play. You know, you've got the stuff he did with the wing backs being kind of inverted and coming into the midfield, but also the signing of Haaland. Yeah, Stones going into midfield. The signing of Haaland, though, signalled a massive shift to how he would normally approach the game and wasn't necessarily a Man City-esque signing in the way that Haaland plays, but massively successful last season, showed that they could mix up the game, wasn't always short and can go long to him. But it just shows that you need to keep evolving. So not saying that we can't evolve and evolve the Swansea way to be successful, just think it's harder for somebody to do what Roberto Martinez did all those years ago, and then Brendan Rodgers obviously continued and Michael Laudrup. I think it's harder to set that up now. It's harder to buy the players that you need that are comfortable to do it. Ball playing centre-backs who are comfortable on the ball cost a lot of money. You know, they cost a lot of money these days, and to get them in the Championship, it's quite difficult. It's sometimes, I'm not sure if that mentality holds us back as a club, but at the same time, I understand why we don't want to let go of it when it's the reason why we were so successful. And it does make the club unique, and it does give us that personality, if you like. So it swings and roundabouts, but I think there needs to be a balance. Just when they got Michael Duff, because he wasn't winning, it was very hard for the fans to back him. I think it was Steve Cooper. He was kind of against the Swansea way, but he was winning and he got into the playoffs. And you talk to fans about him, he's not even that fondly remembered, even though he got us to back-to-back playoffs. You talk about Russell Martin, and a lot of people love him, but he didn't do as well. So, you know, it kind of says it all about how important the ethos is.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that you said that pretty much every Swansea fan wants that style of play, that's something that's still happening pretty much in every press conference. People are asking Liam Rossini about the way we play, because, I mean, under McCann and Shota Avalanza and Steve Bruce especially, we just kick the ball as far up the pitch as possible and then sat on a 1-0 lead, whereas now we're trying to play out from the back more and it comes with its risks. But we are, you know, we started playing that system 10 years after Swansea, so it's going to take our fans this bit of time to get used to it. And, you know, I complain that at times, you know, it can be very inefficient to have 65% of the ball, but fewer shots than the opposition, who are more direct. I mean, we just played Millwall, complete clash of philosophies. Yeah, they kick it as far as up the pitch, whereas, you know, in the last second they had a big chance they could have scored and finished 1-1, despite playing football that, you know, is not positive to look at. Ours is, but it's that sort of level of efficiency. So tell me a little bit about Luke Williams, because as soon as I saw that a Williams player had been brought in towards the end of the season at Swansea, I thought it was going to be Ashley Williams, but it's Luke Williams from Notts County. Done very well there, big club, but even so, to get them promoted, you know, top end of League Two. So not going very well so far. What's your reaction to that appointment?
I mean, look, he's had a difficult fixture list. I don't think it's necessarily, on the face of it, to say not going very well. It's probably a bit harsh. We just lost, obviously, our last game to Plymouth. Now, that was one... this is the sort of epitome of this style of play, where you absolutely dominate a game and lose 1-0. I'm sure you've had some yourself playing this way, where, you know, you get more shots on target, you've got all of the ball, you're making all the chances, but you just can't score. They get an opportunity and they put it in, you know, less clinical with less of the ball. Sorry, more clinical with less of the ball. And that's the argument, isn't it? Like, what's the point of having all this ball if the other team can just come down here with one chance and score and they get the points? And we had that very often under Russell Martin. And it was like, oh, back to this then, you know? Because we did, like, maybe batter them is a bit, like, a lot to say. But you had 71% of the ball, 20 shots against their nine, you know? Like, you expect to win that, I guess. It was a must-win for us, and we didn't win it. So it puts us in a bit more of a difficult situation. And look, credit to Plymouth, because they came and they did a good game to get that result. It's not to say they played bad, because they didn't. It just shows that what we are doing is going in the right direction, just not getting the result. Leicester game as well. Leicester away is always a tough match, you know. But we played well in that game. The 3-1 scoreline probably flatters Leicester a little bit. They had a penalty when it was 1-0, and kind of that's where the game was lost, if you like. We were definitely still in a second half at that point. Played quite well, and we expect to lose that away at Leicester, but you take a good performance there. That's why the Plymouth game was so important. Ignore Bournemouth in the cup, let's just not talk about that one. The manager, I think, did make some mistakes that he did take accountability for in a press conference with the way they set up and selected the team. But again, Southampton, probably expect to lose that game. But the second half performance was very good. You know, we knocked on the door, and at certain stages looked like we probably had enough chances to come back and get something out of that. But again, couldn't find the back of the net. Seems to be a bit of a recurring theme here. And his first game was against Birmingham, so that's an away point on the road, which probably in your first league match you don't really question. You know, so the run has been tough. Southampton, Bournemouth, Leicester, and then Plymouth, who, as much as they haven't been good on the road, have been a good team this year, I think, to come into the Championship. So, however, he's coming at the time of the season where time's not on his side, and he is trying to completely change the way we're playing. And you could argue all you like about, well, it's the wrong time to kind of change that. But ultimately, if it keeps going this way, we're in trouble, aren't we? So something needs to change. We need to start picking up results. But it doesn't get any easier. We're going up to yourselves, obviously, on the weekend in the playoffs. And then we've got Leeds at home. So unfortunately, every game in the Championship is hard. And at some stage, these good performances, this dominating of the ball and play, you need to start scoring goals, you know. And hopefully we can start to see that soon. I just wonder if this weekend is a bit too soon, if you like, but yeah, we'll see.
Well, fingers crossed for us. But yeah, you were saying, oh, it's a difficult run there. I was thinking, who are they playing? Of course, coming to us, I haven't got yet used to the fact we're one of the stronger teams in the Championship now. I mean, we're talking about budgets, we've certainly got one of the biggest ones of those, and we are trying to get those deals in to make that system work. But it can be much more hard when you're not putting the funds in. I mean, you've mentioned Plymouth there. Morgan Whittaker, of course, scored the winner.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously Swansea didn't expect, and Plymouth didn't expect Morgan Whittaker to probably go on and score 20 goals this season, maybe the top goal scorer in the league. But what happened with that transfer? Explain that.
Yeah, you know what? It's just a classic case of a player being completely mismanaged by club and managers. Don't think there's any innocent party here. And do you know what? Morgan Whittaker's not innocent in the fallout himself either. He got the hump of it when he got sent on loan, I think, instead of Liam Cullen under Russell Martin last season. But he had a good half a season at Plymouth in League One. And he got recalled by Swansea, probably at a bad time, right? Because we were actually challenging at the time. We recalled him. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes, but clearly stuff was going on between Martin and the board. They didn't put money in January. Michael Obafemi left. We recalled Morgan Whittaker, which I think the board considered that as like, right, Michael Obafemi's gone, but Whittaker, he's had a good half a year on loan. He's our player anyway, so let's bring him back, and he's like a new signing for you. He's a new striker for you, you know, like, use him. And they didn't sign any more player, like a striker, and Russell Martin was desperate for a striker. So he threw his toys out of the pram, did a big conference to say like he's fully committed to the club, but he was disappointed that he didn't get the backing that he was promised, or less big drama. And Morgan Whittaker's there. He didn't want to come back from Plymouth, so he threw his toys out of the pram because he was like, I didn't want to come back, I was quite happy where I was playing, you know, I was playing well. Rangers put a bid in for him. We rejected it because fully intended, I guess, the board like, no, this is your replacement for Obafemi, you like, use him. And then Russell Martin basically didn't use him. So you recall him from a successful loan at Plymouth.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Only to have him sit on the bench for most of the rest of the season. I know maybe his head wasn't quite in Swansea to like show that same form. That is part of it. Like, you could see he wasn't the same player. He wasn't really interested, I think. He didn't really see his future here because of the stuff maybe he thought he should have had chances before. Wasn't like in the fact he had to go out on loan to get those chances. And, you know, that happens sometimes, you know. But when it comes to the summer then, we probably devalued him because we didn't use him.
Oh, yeah.
Sold him. You know, ultimately he wanted to go and the bid came in and it was a profit at the end of the day. But he's going to be going for like a lot more if he goes this summer, yeah, that's for sure.
He won't be at Plymouth.
Yeah. And,
no offense, you know, to Plymouth, but he won't be at Plymouth.
No, and if we had maybe used him the second half of last season and he maintained similar form, or if we didn't recall him and he had carried on the form he showed at League One level even, you'd probably still get a little bit more than what we got in the summer for him anyway if he did want to go. And kind of shot ourselves in the foot, I guess. Luckily, we got a sell-on clause. I think it's like 20%. So,
well, that's good.
If he does go for big money, we will still get something out of it. But yeah, could have been a lot more. But I guess at the same time, we had Joel Perreault and he was scoring 20 goals a season for us. So maybe you've got to have a little bit of sympathy for the managers choosing that direction. And obviously, he was a lucrative sale for us to Leeds in the summer. So definitely one that got away.
So, talking about transfers there, we've just had January. How did Swansea do in the transfer window? Because I've seen you've got, is it 3 wingers?
Yeah, 3 wingers. Wingers is an area we didn't really sign in the summer and probably needed. To be honest, calling out for years for a bit of pace, a bit of running, like players that would run at the opposition and win free kicks, make something happen. Bit of excitement, bums off seats sort of style. as much as we play this passing football brand, or we did under Russell Martin the last couple of years, it has always felt a bit pedestrian. You know, we're working our way into goal scoring areas by passing the ball and manipulating the ball more than anything individual players are doing in terms of taking on other players, you know. And sometimes those sort of players just bring that excitement that when you don't have it on the pitch, you know, you miss that. So we've been calling for wingers for quite some time now. They were a massive part of our success when we played the Swans away to the Premier League. And it's about time, and they finally have addressed that problem. I don't necessarily think that any of them were our first choice. January obviously is quite difficult to work in. However, Ronald, the right winger they've signed from, and I'll probably butcher the name now, but Anopolis from Brazil, for 1.5 million. He was on loan in the Portuguese Premier League. I forgot the name of the club there, and that's a little bit difficult to pronounce as well. But he was on loan there. We signed him from his home club, from Brazil, and no one really knew anything about him. But he has hit the ground running. He has got bums off seats. He's running. He's direct. He's putting crosses in all the time, which is what Luke Williams wants. He created so many chances for Jerry Yates against Plymouth, and that's where frustrations are, that Yates isn't doing better. But he couldn't have given him more, do you know what I mean? He needed to score goals. But yeah, he's been two matches and he's already undroppable. Really exciting player. Really performed well since he's come in. The other two, you've got Charles Sago Jr. From Arsenal. I believe he's made a first-team appearance this season for them, probably in the cup or something. I don't know too much about him, but obviously a youngster, 19 years of age. Raw talent. Sometimes that can work quite well for you in the Championship. And Plachetta from Norwich. I know he didn't have the best of times at Norwich, but I think, you know, he gets Poland international call-up, so there must be a player in there. Hopefully he can come here and start again maybe and find his feet a little
and
bit.
And he's certainly a quick player, I think.
Yeah, I think he was hampered by injury at Norwich, so a little bit of a fresh start. Hopefully it works out well for him. He's a free transfer in the summer, so if it does, maybe we can keep him. I think we basically just took on the rest of his Norwich contract, which was expiring in the summer. So it's kind of like a six-month trial, I guess. But we haven't seen too much of him or Sago Jr. yet. He came on as subs in the last game in the second half. But Ronald definitely, I can say, is one you should watch out for. I would expect to start on the weekend as well. Be a bit of an exciting player for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm getting interrupted.
That's okay.
Hello. Clear off. That's fine. It's only the second time that's happened, I think, maybe the third. So that's pretty
always
good
a risk. In it, always a risk on the lives.
I knew it was going to happen, yeah. So without Perot, I guess Ronald, or just calling Ronald rather than his second name, he's doing pretty well. But so far, who are the best Swansea players to look out for? Because I normally do a combined lineup because Hull have been in such good form. We've got Swansea and Rotherham coming up. The combined lineup, you know, no offence, is just 11 Hull players at the moment. But are there a few Swansea players that you might want to promote that deserve their place?
Maybe you could put Rushworth in as the goalkeeper because he saved our skins so many times this season. It's always difficult to like look really good as a goalkeeper when you're at this end of the table. And the stats are going to be against you, you know, when you're not keeping clean sheets and the team is conceding goals. But that's largely more the defence than the keeper.
Yeah.
All I will say is the team would have conceded so many more goals if it was not for him. And he's been outstanding when it comes to shot stopping. Sometimes his distribution is a bit suspect, and obviously that's important now to improve with the way we want to play. But his shot stopping has won us points this season, without a doubt, and kept our goal difference a little bit more respectable, for sure. So I would say he's probably been in with the shout of one of the best goalkeepers in the Championship, but it's just not going to get that plaudit because of where we are and how we concede goals, you know, as much as he stops us conceding so many more. If you look at the stats, I think it does show it if you look in so much detail, but I haven't got them to hand now. But yeah, he's definitely one to look out for. But more of an exciting area, Mac Rhymes is definitely the one that is going to run the team. You know, if he plays well and we get the ball to him and he's allowed the space to pass the ball around and recycle the play. He's got the eye to pick out passes anywhere in the pitch. And he's been a main man for us for years now, you know, and this sort of football style suits him to a T. So I would imagine, you know, the playing style and the team will be built around him once again. And when that is done, and now he's got pace to play with as well, to aim for up on the wings, you know, he can definitely be dangerous with his precision and quality that he's got in the centre of the pitch. So I would say he's the main man to watch for Guinness ticking. I would say Ronald, who I just spoke about in terms of attack and opportunities. On the other side, rather than the... We're playing with a four at the back at the moment. Josh Tymon on the left wing, the left back position. He's seemed to have stepped up a bit since the new manager's come in as well, with a bit more license to be creative going forward. Whether he gets the same amount in a left back position as he was getting in his left wing back role, which Luke Williams started with, we'll see. But he's definitely stood up since Luke Williams has come in as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much you've followed Hull City so far, but if you have, you know, followed the Championship in general, how do you see, well, firstly, how do you see our transfer window? Because I've not yet spoken to another fan about whether we won the window. We think we did, but of course we did. So yeah. Thoughts on that?
No, I think when I speak to anyone about football, not necessarily just Swansea fans, but any other Championship fans, a few Cardiff fans in work, a bit of a lot of banter going on there, as you can imagine. I'm on the wrong end of it at the moment. But generally speaking, looking at the league, we've generally said Hull have smashed the window, and you look a bit with eyes of envy of the players that you've got coming in. And that's going back to even the summer, you know, the signing of like Philogene, for example. And now you've got more of the same with like Carvalho?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Ryan Giles, for example, on left back. Yeah. I know you've got Billy Sharp, maybe not the Billy Sharp of old, but he's still a quality.
Well, he's forward. Certainly the Billy Sharp of old, because he's ancient now. But
he's someone that's going to score goals, you know, if you give him the chance. And he's done it for so long that you wouldn't turn that up for 6 months, even if it's, you know, on loan, just to try and see you over the line. So, yeah, brought in a lot of quality, and it's quality you know about, whereas ours is more like, maybe they'll be good, maybe they won't, but we'll have to wait and see. And we need to do a little bit more than three players to improve where we are. I think for you, it's more of a case of adding first-team starters to an already established squad that's already in the playoffs, you know? So, yeah, very strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we're in a pretty decent position. I mean, it's not quite the same, but we do sometimes do sign those players where you're not quite sure how they're going to work out from the Turkish league because of our Turkish links with the owner. We've just signed Abdülkadir Ömür from Trabzonspor, and I mean, he's a great player in Turkey. That transferring across to playing in England hasn't always worked, but the only one that's really worked is Ozan Tufan, so hopefully he's another one of those. Probably won't play on Saturday other than coming off the bench for 5-10 minutes if we're probably more than one goal up. Not sure we're going to see him because he needs to sort of get used to the system and the country. But I think it'll be an interesting game, clash of, you know, the same sort of style of football. And I think at the moment at home, especially with the players we've just got in January, there's a good feeling about the club. So I think I predicted 2-0 on the podcast, but what's your prediction for the upcoming game?
I'll keep it consistent. Obviously, I spoke to Ant earlier on our own version of this video, and I was going to say 2-1, but he took that, and I didn't want to have the same prediction. So as much as a loss is what my head is saying, I changed it up, and I said 2-2, go with like the heart and hope the boys can bring back something that their performances have probably merited a bit more in terms of taking home points in the recent games. So maybe we can go and nick some in a Hull, and I think that'll be a really positive point to bring back and something to use as a bit of momentum then to build on, because it's all well and good playing well, but playing well only gets you so far until your head kind of turns the other way if you never get any reward. So a point away at Hull would definitely be a reward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Well, this is a very sort of important period for us. We've just won two games in Swansea, Rotherham Huddersfield before Southampton and West Brom. It's a crucial period to get some points on the board, hopefully next few games, going into sort of two big playoff games. So interesting time to be a Hull fan. So thank you very much for your insight on Swansea City. Okay. Do you want to just plug all your stuff?
Yeah, just type in Swanscast in YouTube. You find all of our stuff on there. So we got the previews like this and our podcast, which goes up on YouTube. Podcasts also on all the podcast platforms like Spotify. And we're usually most active on social media on X or Twitter. So just type in Swanscast on 20 of the social medias and you'll find us. But yeah, X is where if you want to have a chat or get involved in any of our stuff, that's usually where the easiest place is to do it.
Okay, awesome. Well, you've been a fantastic guest. Thank you for coming on. Pretty sure we spoke earlier in the season as well. So, now I was talking to a Cardiff fan, I think, because when did we play each other last? It was ages ago,
a couple of months ago, I think. Yeah, I can't remember exactly when the game was. Now, season's kind of
2-2. I think I probably had asked you about your opinion on Wales at the Euros, which may or may not happen.
I think we did speak about Wales a bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm quite looking forward to having, because usually it's Sweden. I mean, this is not relevant, but usually it's Sweden I support, as well as England at tournaments. They're not there. So Turkey, because of our links. That'll be quite exciting. Hopefully, at least one whole player in the lineup there.
I think I was saying I don't really enjoy Rob Page.
Yeah,
when I came on here last time.
And absolutely.
If you want an update on our situation, obviously Wales are in this playoff now, which they kind of shot themselves in the foot. They should have got over the line based on the position they put themselves in, beating a difficult team, and then not so much performing against the teams that probably should have got a result against. And now we find ourselves in a position where Rob Page is going to have this playoff. Look, I hope he wins and I hope we get there, don't get me wrong. But right now, Steve Cooper is a free agent and Welsh manager who I think would do a really good job for the international team. Part of me just, you know, it's the timing. Like, if we don't win this playoff and he's still available, I would love us to go for him. But if we do win it and Rob Page takes us to the competition, I feel like Steve Cooper won't be free when we inevitably have a disappointing competition. So, difficult one.
Okay.
Don't know if Steve Cooper will come mind, but I feel like he'd... be a really good choice.
I think, some people were talking about Steve Cooper having the England job because hadn't he been involved with England?
Yeah, so he was very successful and I think he won the under-17s World Cup or something. Mm. Maybe not under-17s, one of them.
One of those.
Because that's what he did before he came to the Swans. And that's kind of where his management experience was and where he got all his links to the loan signings we had, like Brewster and Keehy and Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Well, thank you very much for coming on and we'll be back very soon, probably Sunday night, to hopefully discuss three wins in a row. Not had three wins in a row under Dean Rossini just yet, so might not happen. But thanks to everyone for listening and we'll be back very soon.
Bye.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.